Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour 3 Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. That number is 844-322-2742. If you have a question or a topic of discussion you'd like to present, give us a call right now. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, by the way, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about grace alone this week. That was one of the things that was rediscovered during the Protestant Reformation as Martin Luther opened up his Bible. He realized that salvation is a God thing, that he extends grace to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that we can be saved. That's the only way that we can experience the abundance of life in our day-to-day journey with Christ Jesus. And when you project that out in the world, really, grace is the only solution for the world problems that we see and that we're encountering each and every day that show up in the news headlines in such dramatic ways. So grace and grace alone is our only answer, is our only solution. And praise be to God that he extended that grace to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what the Apostle John is getting at in his gospel in the first chapter. In verse 14, he says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So that Word was Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning. He was God and is God. So what do we know about Jesus Christ? He's God. He was God in human flesh. And it says, "And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So what do we know about Jesus Christ? That he was full of grace and truth. So he's come to reveal to us the nature, the essence of his Father. Well, that essence is grace and truth. If Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth, then his Father is full of grace and truth. So it goes on to say, "John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" And that's some confusing language. Right. Jesus was born physically six months after John the Baptist, but yet Jesus pre-existed. He was before John the Baptist, and John the Baptist makes reference to that. "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." So what are we going to receive from Jesus Christ? Grace upon grace. Why is that so? Because that's what we need. That's our only way to be saved. That's our only way to be restored back to what God had intended us, had intended for us from the very get-go. There's no law that can move us to that end goal. There's no set of rules and regulations that we could follow. There's no amount of human effort. There's no amount of human wisdom that could move us from death to life. Only the grace of God could do that. And so in Christ, we receive grace upon grace. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." So John draws a contrast here between Moses and Jesus. So what was delivered to the people of Israel through Moses? The law, the Ten Commandments, and some 613 other commandments to shape kind of the religious life of the people and the social life of the people.
And the government.
It was all inclusive there. So Moses delivered law, but law never delivered the people of Israel to their end goal. Jesus has to do that, and that's why he came full of grace and truth. Martin Luther said this when he discovered this wonderful truth about Jesus. He said, "Therefore, beware lest you make Christ into a Moses and the gospel into a book of law or doctrine." We had a Moses, we had a book of law and doctrine, but those were useless as far as perfecting us in the sight of God. The writer of Hebrews said that. Those aren't my words.
Yes.
The writer of Hebrews said the law was weak and useless. Why? Because it could not deliver us to God's goal for our lives. Only Christ could do that. That's why this salvation is by grace alone. There is no other way, folks. If you are trying to make yourself right with God through your obedience to the law, if you are trying through human effort, through promises, through sacrifices, let those go. They will move you further away from where you want to be. They will not drive you closer to God. Let them go. They are weak and useless. Grab hold of Jesus and allow His grace to move you from death to life and put you right in the center of where God wants you to be. It is grace alone, folks. And once we get that, we will start to experience this grace in every area of life. And we will understand what abundant living is all about.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
It's a great idea because it's God's idea.
Absolutely.
It's God's idea. And that's what makes it great.
It's the kind of idea that we talk about every day on Basic Gospel, and we're glad you're here to hear it. And, of course, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and something special is coming up. Friends, this month is Bob's birthday. And you know, two years ago, you brought out your very first book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and it has caught on and it has made an impact in so many people's lives. I want to read something here. This is a quote. It says, "It's poignant and compelling and everything we need to know about the grace of God and how marvelously perfect is God's plan for our life in Christ." Now, that's a quote from John Andrews, who is the author of the series Outlaw Preacher, which we're kind of partial to as well. But he's talking about Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, how your Christian life is really supposed to work. And in honor of in observance of Bob's birthday coming up, we want to make a very special offer to our listeners, a special price for Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And Bob, tell us more about how we're going to do this.
Well, my burning desire, our burning passion here at Basic Gospel is to get the message of Jesus out to as many people as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. That's all we want to do. And we ask you to come alongside of us, yeah, partner with us, be a part of getting this gospel message out to as many people as we possibly can. One way to do that is to give a book.
Give a book, absolutely.
Oftentimes, you don't have time to have long, extended conversations, and sometimes people have more questions that maybe you feel equipped to answer, or you don't have time to answer, or that sort of thing. But you can give a person a book. Mm-hmm. And so my wish for my birthday coming up is that everyone listening would go to our website, basicgospel.net, and purchase a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, mm-hmm, to give to a friend or to give to a loved one, to give to maybe a family member, maybe a neighbor, maybe, yeah, somebody that you work with. Let's get together and get this Word of God out to as many people as possible. This is a very personal book for me. It tells a lot of my personal story, how I came to know Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I talk about the death of my dad and what that meant to me and our family and some of the spiritual lessons I learned from that. Mm-hmm. I tell a very troubling story about something that I went to that landed me in the hospital. And how God's grace proves sufficient. But in all of those stories, in all of the illustrations, there's this way of grace from beginning to end. You know, the Bible starts with these great words, "In the beginning, God," just four words. Right. So God is the author, creator, the source of everything. And if we're going to have any connection to God, if we're going to experience His life, then it's the grace of the Lord Jesus that's going to make that possible. So that we normally just think of that in terms of salvation, but that's life. That's all of life. It's given to us by the grace of the Lord Jesus. So how does the Bible end? It ends with these words, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with his people. So that's the story. And every time you see God show up in the human scene, it is that those two verses being lived out. God showed up in Abraham's life. In the beginning of Abraham's story, God. And what did he offer Abraham? Promises and blessings through the seed, Jesus Christ himself. And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So in the beginning of Abraham's story, God showed up and extended grace to him in the person of Jesus Christ. That's how that story became something that was extraordinary, not just the ordinary human existence. And every time God showed up in a person's life, that was the story. He revealed himself, extended grace through either the promise of the coming Messiah or in Christ himself after Christ came on the scene.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Right.
That's what this book is all about. If you want to experience the abundance of life, if you know people who are struggling, who are putting all of their energy into human effort to try to make something of themselves, try to make their position with Christ right, man, they're going to be struggling. They're going to be frustrated. This is a book that can help them. And so my birthday wish is to get this into the hands of as many people as possible. And so we're asking you to go to our website, purchase a copy, give it to somebody. Once you give it to that person, then write back to us and tell us the story of how God used it. We would love to hear it. It would be an encouragement to us and an encouragement to the entire body of Christ.
Absolutely. And I think it's a very honorable way to help celebrate Bob's birthday. Put a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace into the hands of someone that you care about and would like to get this message to. And we hope that hope to see many of our listeners take part in this this observance. Bob, the birthday's coming up this Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Joshua just wrote to us on our Facebook page saying it would be very much willing to purchase two copies.
Absolutely.
Of the book, one for himself and one for another with joy. So, Joshua, thanks for those kind words. And before we go to our phone lines, we're going to pick up with William in just a second. But this is a special month for you as well, Mr. Davis. 35 years ago.
Oh, my. Yeah.
October of 1982.
Yeah.
You joined forces with People to People, actually,
right.
Discipleship Counseling Services was our name way back then. You became our radio engineer, the voice of the radio broadcast, and you have been diligently serving and just lending your expertise. I tell people all the time that you are so gifted your voice that you could have done anything. I mean, you could have been in Hollywood. You could have been the voice of commercials and Hollywood scripts and anything that you wanted to do. But Jesus Christ touched you in such a way, you just said, I'm making myself available to him. And we are the fortunate ones because we've experienced that blessing as you've chosen to join with us and to journey with us. And, boy, Bob, it has been quite the journey. And so a heartfelt congratulations for your service to Basic Gospel all of these years, but for me, for your friendship, because there's never been a friend like you.
That's the bottom line, Bob. And I appreciate the warmth of your heart and your love for me as well. So it's kind of a love fest here, Richard. And
we got to put a stop to that.
Yeah, I got to put a stop to that real quick. No, seriously, just Bob, I appreciate that very, very much. And it has been very much an incredible blessing and privilege for me to serve with you and Richard and the staff. Many of them have been with us for a long, long time.
Yes,
and
indeed.
So
yes,
it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. And thank you, my brother. I appreciate
it. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be saying thank you to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go to our phone lines. And we're going to start out in Livermore, California, and talk to our good friend William. Hi, William.
Happy birthday, Bob, and I hope that when you speak of we being blessed by Bob Davis, you include all of the listeners over these 3.5 decades.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that we.
That sounds even longer.
Thank you, William. I appreciate that.
All right. My question has to do with baptism, water baptism. It seems to be one of the major bones of contention in Christianity as to whether or not water baptism is necessary to be saved. When I hear people, make that statement, it's almost as if I could hear the believers of the Pharisees saying that unless the Gentiles are circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses, they cannot be saved. And it seems to be along the same lines. And all of the arguments that I give as to why water baptism isn't necessary to be saved are sloughed off and ignored by most. But something occurred to me that I wanted to run by you. I respect your knowledge and your experience in ministry, and I wanted to make sure that I wasn't misspeaking before I stated this, but it seems to me that all of the Old Testament saints are saved, and not one of them were baptized with John's baptism.
Well, you're correct there. John's baptism didn't exist for Abraham and David and all of those. In Hebrews 11 is very clear. They are commended for their faith. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Moses did this. By faith, Enoch did this. And that's the storyline. Every character from the Old Testament that the writer of Hebrews introduces in that chapter is introduced with those same words. By faith, such and such yes. did whatever it was that they did. And so that's what stands, and that's what God has always been looking for, people who would trust him. And that's what changed in the garden, wasn't it? Adam and Eve were created. They had this wonderful relationship with God the Father. There was just this natural trust built into them, and then that was disrupted. That was disturbed when Satan lured them over to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they chose an independent way of life. They wanted to make it on their own. They wanted to become gods themselves. And so they started to live in unbelief. And the repentance is that move that God does inside of us that moves us from unbelief in Jesus to belief in Jesus. And that's in response to the grace of God that's revealed to us. So it's always by grace through faith in Jesus. That's the storyline that repeats itself over and over and over within the pages of Scripture. So none of those Old Testament saints knew anything about the baptism of John. The baptism of John had a dual purpose. One, God sent him out to baptize because he knew one day Jesus was going to show up, and John was given the incredible opportunity to make the introduction of Jesus as Messiah to the people of Israel. So he was, God kind of came to him, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, I want you to be the MC of this incredible event that's going to happen in the waters of the Jordan River, and you're going to be the guy that reads the introduction. And when you put him in the water, there's going to be a voice from heaven, there's going to be a dove, and after he comes up, then the people are going to know and recognize that there's something different about this man named Jesus, that he is the Messiah, the one that's been waited for. And so in preparing people for that, he was saying, John, I want you to take people out and baptize them to get their hearts ready for this introduction so that they can receive what Jesus is coming to offer them, forgiveness of sins and new life through faith in him. So that baptism of John was preparation.
Yes.
So it wasn't to be brought over into the salvation story. It was just to prepare their hearts for what was about to take place. So that's all it was for. Now, we've taken that and said, or a lot of churches have taken that and said, hey, this is a necessary requirement to be saved. And they're just doing a disservice to the gospel. As a matter of fact, they're emasculating the gospel. They're robbing it of its power. If you add anything to Jesus, you've just taken away from Jesus.
It's a perversion.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So if you say water baptism's a part of the gospel, then you've made it not grace alone, but grace and works. So there's the grace of the Lord Jesus, and then there's your work of baptism. And those who say that you have to be baptized to be saved, water baptized, then they have specifications of what that's to look like. And there are some denominations that will say that if you're not baptized in our waters by our pastor, then your baptism doesn't count. So they even put standards on what that baptism is supposed to look like. Well, they've just made it into a work. So water baptism is not a part of the gospel. And I think the best passage of Scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul said, God sent me to preach the gospel, not to baptize. And he said, I don't even remember who I've baptized. Oh, yeah, there was Crispus and Gaius in the household of Stephanas, but beyond that, I haven't baptized anybody. And the reason is because water baptism isn't a part of the gospel message. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and getting back to those Old Testament saints, that 11th chapter of Hebrews ends by pointing out that not one of them had received what had been promised until they were made perfect along with us. In other words, after Jesus had finished his work of his death, burial, and resurrection.
That's right.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you for your service, and you too, Richard.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Well, thanks for your call, William. We always love hearing from you. You bring great questions to the broadcast, so thank you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. We want to let our listeners know, of course, those of you who don't, that we're streaming live video every day to YouTube and Basic Gospel's page on Facebook. We encourage you to take advantage of this new venue, and relatively new, I should say, and it's just one more way that the Lord has opened up to share the gospel and the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we hope you'll take advantage of that. Also, take advantage of the Basic Gospel app. That's a great way to stay in contact every day with the ministry, and you can listen to the live broadcast. You can make a donation. That's just a very, very versatile app that you can download today if you have the opportunity to do that, and take advantage of it. Listen to the live program on the app every day. Well, Bob, I want to remind our listeners once again about the upcoming observance of your birthday on this coming Sunday, and your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, as I said at the top of the program, has impacted so many lives. And we want our listeners to join with Richard and me and the other members of the staff in honoring you by putting a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace into the hands of someone that you care about, someone you love. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's one of your children, or whoever it happens to be, someone in the workplace, or whoever it happens to be. We want to celebrate Bob's birthday by getting Basic Gospel's message, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, into the hands of as many people as possible. Bob, give us your thoughts in just a few seconds.
Well, that's my wish. And like I said, I think it's time for us to really do all that we can to share the good news of God's love and grace with as many people as we can. And as I said, you know, books still are a wonderful way to do that. So we have a special price, $8,
yeah.
Shipping and handling on top of that. But go order a copy, order 10 copies,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let's get the word out through Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
At basicgospel.net. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.